My name is Joan Fernley, and I'm the music director of Bytown Voices. I took on conducting in July 2015. I think that Bytown Voices is a typical community choir that comes a bit from the tradition of a choral society, but also just a general community choir. So I try to cover as much as possible of that sort of 500 years of choral history, but also try to look at newly composed pieces that I can add to the repertoire and try to vary styles, vary moods, vary rhythms, just really to get a variety so that there's really something for everyone. I think the choir is defined not by its repertoire, but by its community aspect and the people that are part of the choir. So some choirs like to have a set type of repertoire, but for Bytown Voices, I think want to run the gamut and touch on a bit of everything and also consider the different difficulty levels. Choosing music in the context of a pandemic when you don't know what the outcomes will be was definitely a challenge, especially because I didn't know if we would be flipping back and forth from Zoom to in person. We started in person, but you just never knew if there would be more restrictions. We also had a hybrid format where some members were permanently on Zoom, and also we wanted to encourage people to continue participating if for some reason they weren't feeling well, that way they could participate on the Zoom option. So I had to have music that would suit those environments and things that would be singable, but at the same time continue that challenging, you know, learning new skills and challenges and not just fall back into a bit of a sing-along that perhaps after a year might become a little stale, especially because the previous year we were completely on Zoom. And again, there I was choosing repertoire that was singable, but yet still had challenge. So, you know, it's to do this over almost pretty much a two-year period. Of choosing music during a pandemic is I wanted to select music that had recordings that people could access. So I picked music that had existing resources. I picked music where I could work on things in the Zoom environment, where perhaps I would work on text, so having French text, Latin text, and that's something that's quite teachable on Zoom. So I really had the Zoom component in the back of my mind when I was picking music. Tried to bring in one of the major composers. This past season was Vivaldi. We were planning our anniversary concert to prepare the Vivaldi Gloria, so we had already learned part of it. For the most part, people are excited to do those pieces. It can be a very rewarding experience, but it certainly can be a very daunting experience. Some people have never sung in Latin, and some people have sung in Latin since they were children. because of course this non-auditioned choir, when I say non-auditioned, a lot of the people in this choir would be able to do an audition. They wouldn't have an issue. It's just that's the nature of the choir. The interesting thing about these composers, such as the Haydn Mass we did recently, we've done the Mozart Ave Verum we did last season, and also the Vivaldi Gloria. These are Baroque classical composers, and the music is very consonant. So actually the harmonies aren't very difficult for the ear to pick up. The challenging areas come elsewhere. Language for people who've never sung in Latin, and it also comes in certain movements that might have quicker passages, or these different sections coming in at different times, which for some singers is completely new. Some of them may have sung in a church choir and have sung hymns where everybody's singing the same words at the same time. So this kind of pattern of singing for some people is very new. But most people come out of singing these kinds of pieces feeling good about themselves by the end. Second movement of the Vivaldi, the Et in Terra Pax, is that it has these very long lines. In the pandemic, wearing masks, having spent a whole year on Zoom where people were sitting down at, in front of their computer to sing in choir, they hadn't fully exercised the breathing. The deep inhale followed by a long exhale in a long line. So I picked that for that reason, just to put people in that situation where they would have to do these long, sustained lines. John Rutter is a much loved composer. He is prolific, and I think he has a very deep understanding of the level of difficulty of pieces. He's very tuneful. So this is something choirs love. There's nothing like a good melody. The reason I chose the Sprig of Time specifically for this season is because it was an accessible group of songs. We didn't sing all the songs. I think there are 11 in the book. And I picked this because some of the pieces had beautiful unison lines. And given the fact that, again, we were in a very unpredictable environment, there's nothing like unison singing to reach two goals. One is to give your singers something they can hold on to right out of the gate right at the beginning of the season, they can have a tune to hang on to, and you're not tripping over parts and difficult passages. That's the one thing. That's the easy win. But the more difficult thing is, because I'm not worrying about parts and all that, I can work on things like tuning and blend and intonation and voice production and vowel shapes. And I can do all those other things without tripping over parts. And so people can just hang on to the melody, and then they can think about other things. That the choir members would hear from this recording would be a snapshot, a moment in time when they got to a certain point in a piece, and listen to, just with an open heart, as if this was a friend singing. Choir members are incredibly difficult on themselves. They want to sound like the best choirs in the world, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't always meet their expectations. Definitely, it certainly met my expectations, and there was certainly a lot of progress that happened during the season. And that's how I would hope the singers would listen, but perhaps have the ear of a teacher when they listen to it, and just go from there and listen and see the beauty of what was done, and then say, oh, maybe we could learn from there, and this is something we can work on. So I'm very proud of the recordings that were done, very proud of the work that the choir did. But of course, it was just a snapshot in time, and some pieces were more advanced than others. Thinking about Il est bel et bon. Oh, why would I think of Il est bel et bon? It's because that's the one that, if I can put it in these words, was the most loaded choice. I picked it because it would be an opportunity for the choir to explore this kind of repertoire that they don't typically do, because it is difficult. And it was an enormous challenge. It wasn't French. It does become a bit like riding a bike. Once you've got it, it does stick. But even then, there are bits that are very challenging. And this was a piece that right out of the gate, people said, oh, we'll never be able to do. We'll never be able to do. And there are pieces like that, that it's not about learning the piece perfectly. It's about learning what the piece has to offer you. So there are many pieces that can serve the purpose of building skills for other pieces. Suddenly the other pieces become easier. And the only way those other pieces would become easier is because you tackled that other difficult piece. So if I can say the gift of the pandemic, which was a bit of a curse, but it did have its learning opportunities. And the gift of the pandemic was to not have the pressure of a concert and to have the freedom to explore perhaps other pieces that we would not have done normally in a concert. Listening to recordings is always a bit of an adventure, and it's full of surprises. You would think that I would know exactly what a recording would sound like because I'm there in the room. But in fact, there's always a different perspective. It's as if the microphone placement puts my ears in a different part of the hall or the church. And so I can hear certain areas that were better than expected. I can hear things that were worse than expected. But generally, it's also more it's more nuanced. It's more the why and the how that something happened, areas where somebody may have been tripping up, or you know, the words may not have been as clear. These are the things that sometimes will come out a little bit more in the recording, and also sometimes the microphones are placed a little closer to the singers than what an audience might actually experience in the room, so that's also a different perspective. But it's always a learning experience, both from the successes and whatever could be worked on. So I just get little tidbits of information as I listen. Is next season going to be different from this season? We're all hoping to be back to some semblance of normalcy, but we all know that there could be restrictions, you know, in the fall, there could be other variants. So we're all hopeful, optimistic, yet realist. So there's, for me and my programming, there's going to be an element of realism in my programming. So now's not the time to hire an orchestra and to, you know, to have all kinds of risks in the planning. So I'm going to try to remain nimble, but definitely will go with a business as usual approach, where I will have a selection of pieces of a variety. You know, the same thing I've always done is to select a variety of pieces with a varying levels of difficulty, different types of challenges and styles and so on. So that's going to be the same approach, and there will be new music. Definitely, we won't just be redoing some of the music we've done in the past, although we always do a little bit of that, but it'll be like a fresh season.